BGMC. The biblical truth lives here.
The ancient Hebrew scriptures foretold of the Anointed One, Yeshua HaMashiach. The Messiah Yeshua came to call the people back to the truth of His word and to follow that righteous path. Yeshua then called Jewish men to be His disciples, and after His death and resurrection, those Jewish men told the world about the Jewish Messiah. Now, after 2,000 years, Beth Goyim Messianic Congregation has that same calling of those Jewish men, telling all people, both Jew and Gentile, about the proper ancient path. Teaching the Route 66 King's Highway, from Genesis through to Revelation, and how you need and can get back to the proper roots of the faith and a closer walk with God. Now, let's hear the message.
Well, today this parasha has so much information. This is Nitzavim. It means standing. So the scene is this. They've come through the desert. They're about to enter the land, and they're standing in the land of Moab. So Moshe gets up and recites a few more rules, because here in last week's parasha, I won't even give you the numbers because it's right before 29. It's the very end of 28. It says, these words of the covenant which Jehovah ordered Moshe to make with the people of Israel in the land of Moab, and these are in addition to the covenant which he made with them at Horeb. So so this is Devarim, but this is not Moshe expounding. This clearly says this part right here is more of the covenant from Jehovah. So this information is not presented in the first four books. There's some actually new information here. So it's not part of the expounding that Moshe did. So anyway, they're standing. So here's the scene. They're standing before Jehovah. And down here in 29:14, he says, I'm not just making this covenant and this oath with only you, rather. I'm making it both with him who's standing here with us today before Jehovah, our Elohim, and also with him who's not here with us, which means, I suppose, future generations and people who will join. You know, Rut was not even part of the house of Israel, but she joined later. She came along and wanted to be part of the nation. Many of you guys are not blood Israel, but you know, you've joined. So this covenant, clearly this covenant is with everybody who wants to be part of the king's house, because none of these other nations, the king's house didn't extend over to Moab. You know, those people that live there, we're about to hear about them. He says in 16 here, for you know how we lived in the land of Mitzrayim. We came directly through the nations you should pass through, and we saw their detestable things, their idols of wood, gold, stone, silver, wood, stone, silver, and gold that they had with them. So let there not be among you a man, woman, family, or tribe whose heart turns away today from Jehovah our Elohim to serve the gods of those nations. Let there not be among you a root bearing such bitter poison and wormwood. Okay, now, So they're standing, and he tells them, okay, here's some new stuff. Don't do this. Also, this covenant's not just with you. It's with future generations. So we'll pause right there. Rabbi Andrew wanted me to explain the picture behind me. The picture behind me is out here in a field in North Carolina. And that you see behind me is not fog. That you see behind me is a heavy, dry mist that comes up out of the forest. And when that comes, sometimes it lays by itself. Sometimes it's that white color. Sometimes it's red. Sometimes it's blue. It's been various other colors. Generally, when it comes, there will be angels walking in the midst of it, usually four very large armored angels. So it's a very interesting thing to see. But we're going to talk a lot about the Spirit of the Lord and the heaviness of the Spirit and how powerful His Spirit is today. So I thought that would be a very fitting picture to have behind me, so you guys could get a visual on how heavy what the kavod of the Lord looks like. If you walk out into that, sometimes you can walk out into it, sometimes you can't. But if you walk out into it, it's dry. It's more like an energy than a there's nothing wet or damp about it at all. It smells like linen and cassia usually. So here comes the heavy lift. Everybody ready for a heavy lift here? If there is such a person, when he hears the words of this curse, he will bless himself secretly, saying, I will be all right, even though I stubbornly keep doing whatever I feel like doing, so that although I'm dry, I will be added to the watered. Now here it comes. But Jehovah will not forgive that person. Rather, the anger and jealousy of Jehovah will blaze up against that person, and every curse written in this book will be upon him. He'll blot his name out from under heaven. He will single him out from all the tribes of Israel to experience what is bad and all the curses of the covenant written in this book of the Torah. Now, has anybody else ever heard of the Lord, of Yeshua, of Jehovah, not being willing to forgive somebody for doing something? Has anybody ever heard that anywhere else? Now, I can't see all the hands, so you're just going to have to jump in with your voice.
What I have heard is that you won't get...
In the beginning of the sentence.
Hear me, Rabbi?
Yes, where have you heard it?
Yeah, I've heard that... And one is if you take your life away, that sin is unforgivable. And the other is to blaspheme against the Ruach HaKodesh.
Right. Now, let's explore that. So, we need to get real heavy here. So, he says he'll be all right. He'll keep doing what he feels like doing. Although dry, he will be added to the watered. So let's look at some words here. In Devarim 29, and let's say, let's start at about 19 here. Oh, I don't have my, I'm all the way down in the wrong book here. There we are. Okay, this guy, what he's saying in reality, he says he'll be all right. Let's see. The man says he'll have shalom. Even though he walks in stubbornness, and even though he's adding rava, that is the root word, rava, that means to be filled up with something, to be watered, or to be saturated. So that word is H7302. That's the root of it only. That's not the tense here in this situation. The tense of that word, if I can get the HISB up here, the tense of that word, is ha-rava, to be completely filled, see? So even though the CJB says I'll be watered, that gives the connotation of having my fill. This person says ha-rava. He's saying he'll be fine. Even though he's empty, he will be filled. So he's masquerading as being filled with the Spirit of the Lord. He says he's going to bless himself and he's going to do what he wants, and yet I will be filled. So this guy claims that he's going to be filled with the Ruach anyway. So if anybody ever wants to know what blaspheming the Spirit of the Lord is, that's what it is. Now, I can give you some New Testament examples to back that up. In Matthew 12:31 and 32, in Mark 3:29, and in Luke 12:10, all three instances, the Purashim are accusing Yeshua of driving out demons by Baal Zivul. Well, he wasn't driving out demons by that. He was driving out demons by the Ruach HaKodesh. So he asked them a question. We don't need to turn to that. You guys can just write those scriptures down and look them up later.
Can you repeat the Mark one and the Luke? You went pretty fast. I wasn't able to write them.
Matthew is chapter 12. And really, if you want the whole story, go to Matthew 12, start at 22, and read to 45.
Thank you.
But the Mark scripture is 3:29. And the Luke scripture is 12:10. But in that moment, what the Purashim are doing is they're accusing Yeshua of using demons, more powerful demons, to drive out demons. Because Baal Zivul is like a play on words. The demons are compared to excrement and dung thrown out. So Baal Zivul would mean the Lord of dung, basically. And so they're accusing Yeshua of using the Lord of excrement or the Lord of dung to order that dung around. And so he told them, well, who do you drive them out by? Who do your sons drive them out by? And then he said, look, you speak against me, that's fine. You speak against my Father, that's fine. But now you're speaking against my Father and I, Spirit, and anybody that speaks against the Ruach HaKodesh can't be forgiven. You see, so they were blaspheming the Spirit. They were calling the Spirit by which he drove out demons the King of Dung. So, and essentially, this is what this man in the Torah that the Lord is talking about is doing. He says he'll get the blessing, he'll be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. He'll be saturated with that living water, even though he just stubbornly does whatever he wants to do. I can give you another example of that. We can go to Exodus. I'm going to read it. So if you don't want to turn your phones there, you don't got to. We're going to go to Exodus 23 and start at about 20. Behold, I'm about to send an angel before you to guard you in the way and to bring you to the place which I have prepared. Be observant before him and listen to his voice. Do not be rebellious against him, for he will not forgive your transgressions, for my name is in him. For if you fully listen to his voice and do all which I speak, I will be an enemy to your enemies, and an enemy, I will be an enemy to your enemies, and will be an enemy to your enemies. For my angel shall go before you and bring you into the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, and the Hivi, and I will destroy them. So you see, there again in Shemot 23 and 20, that passage, you see there is another time. Jehovah says he won't forgive. So Yeshua only confirms, when Yeshua said, if you speak against the Spirit, he only confirmed the Torah. Now, how many people have ever seen that in Torah before, where you wouldn't be forgiven if you do certain transgressions? I'm listening. Anybody ever see that in the Torah before? Or did everybody think Yeshua was making some new mystery rule? He made a rule about blaspheming the Spirit, but then wouldn't tell you what blaspheming the Spirit was. Yeah, my screen is small. I can't quite see everybody. So anyway, hearing no commentary on that, which is unbelievable, we'll move on to Devarim 29:22, when the next generation of your children grow up after you, and the foreigner who arrives from a distant land see the plague of that land in distress, which Jehovah has made sick, the whole land has become burning sulfur and salt. That isn't being sown or bearing crops or even producing grass, like the overthrow of Saddam, Amorah, Admah, Zivonim, which Adonai overthrew in his furious anger. Then the nations will ask, why did Jehovah do this to this land? What is the meaning of such a frenzied, furious anger? And that happened. There's a historical context for that happening. Mark Twain visited what is now Israel in his lifetime. And he looked around and there was nothing growing, nothing anywhere. And he said, what an awful place. This place has been destroyed so completely. Why would there be so many wars over it? Who would fight over this place? So that actually happened. And Mark Twain actually wrote about it. You can look that up and read his writings about what an awful place he thought that was. And we know why they did it. We know why he did it. They served other gods. Boy, the Jews love to serve other gods. So let's move on down here to 30. And we'll get some good news. When the time arrives, and all these things have come upon you, both the blessing and the curse which I have presented to you, and you see there among the nations to which Jehovah your Elohim has driven you, then at last you'll start thinking about what happened to you, and you'll return to Jehovah your Elohim and pay attention to what he has said, which will be exactly what I am ordering you today. All right. Everybody get that? You're out in the nations, you're in sin, and you start paying attention to what Jehovah your Elohim has said. And what is that? Well, he goes on and tells you. He answers the question for you. If you're going to return to Jehovah your Elohim and pay attention to what he said, that will be exactly what I am ordering you to do today. So, exactly what Jehovah your Elohim is ordering you to do today. Well, the prophets, the Brit Hadashah, none of that was written. Only the Torah was what they were learning today. So with that, I've got a few questions for everybody. So how many of you have ever heard a Christian say, well, I know that Saturday's the true Sabbath, but, you know, God's merciful, and we've always gone on Sunday. I think it's all right to go on Sunday. Anybody ever hear that? I'll bet I personally have heard that.
Just this week.
Now, who said that?
I heard it just this week.
Who's talking to me?
Oh, this is Marcia.
Hey, Marcia, how you doing?
Hey, I'm fine.
It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's good to be speaking. Hopefully I'll see everybody next week. I just had some blisters that came up from a medicine I was taking, and I thought I should maybe wait till they're cleared up. But, yeah, I had somebody tell me that just this week, and I talked to them about it, and they said, well, you know, I don't think it really matters what the day is, just as long as you have a day. And I said, well, I don't think it matters what we think about it. It's what God thinks about it.
Yeah, I'm reading the line that says, I will be all right because I will stubbornly keep doing whatever I feel like doing.
Yeah.
I've heard that so many times, that the holy days don't matter, that the Shabbat don't matter. And now we're here at this, and we see that in Devarim, those people are blasphemers. How many people have ever heard of somebody saying that they were filled with the Ruach HaKodesh? They were a spirit-filled, spirit-led Christian, but then they say the day don't matter.
1,000 times.
Yeah, I've heard that and heard that. Those people are blaspheming the Spirit of the Lord.
And the worst thing
is they know.
Rabbi, the worst thing is when they start, and that really like terrifies me, because I've seen it in the Pentecostal, when they start talking just
That's not even language. It's just garbage. And they say that it's the Ruach HaKodesh that's giving them that blessing of them speaking different languages. And that's not no language. It's just garbage what they're saying. Like, literally. They act silly because it's nothing like that. The Ruach doesn't do that.
So yeah, that's scary to see that. I went to a church like that. And I'll tell you what started. Here's where it started for me. People would get down on the floor and they would speak their prayer language. Rabbi Andrew calls it the Ashalawala Bing Bang. So anyway, they would speak their prayer language and they would roll on the floor and they would soak in the spirit and they would do all of the things that the heavy Pentecostals do. Some of them would jump up during the service one time at times and say they had a message from the Lord and scream out a bunch of like really obvious truths from Scripture that anyone could read and scream out. And I asked a few people one time at a prayer meeting. I said, if you're so completely filled with the Spirit that you're not even in control of yourself, why is it when you get up off of the floor, the Spirit of Elohim has not told you Christmas is a pagan holiday, you shouldn't do it, you're worshiping idols. Easter has you worshiping idols. You're practicing Shabbat on the wrong day. You're not doing my holy days. Why would the Spirit have seized you and saturated you? And it's interesting that this word saturated is in the Torah because those people claim to be completely saturated with the Spirit of the Lord. And I said to them, if you're so saturated with the Spirit of the Lord, why does he leave nothing behind? It gives you nothing when you get up. You don't know one more thing about him than when you fell down. So nobody could answer that question for me. So that started my journey away from that movement. That's just a little personal info there. So anyway, we see that people to this day misuse the Spirit. They lie about the Ruach HaKodesh. Those people who speak that garbage language are not filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. If they were, they would never do that. So they say they are saturated, but what they are is dry, empty. That word in the Torah for dry is they're empty. There's nothing there. So that's what they are. They're empty, but they say they're blessed and full of shalom and saturated full. So they're doing exactly the modern church, the modern spirit-filled church is doing exactly what you're reading about in Devarim 29 and 20. So interesting that our king knows the end from the very beginning. So let's come back here. Yes. Pick up if comments because I can't see all the hands. So anyway, let's go back down here to 30, where he says, paying attention to him and what he has said means you're paying attention to exactly what I'm ordering you to do today. You and your children, with all your heart and your being. At that point, Jehovah your Elohim will reverse your exile and show you mercy. He will return and gather you from all the peoples which Jehovah your Elohim scattered you. Now, this scripture is very important to me because this is exactly what happened to me. No one could evangelize me. No one evangelized me. But here, the Lord said, if one of yours was scattered to the far end of the sky, Jehovah your Elohim will gather you even from there. He will go there and get you. Jehovah your Elohim will bring you back to the land your ancestors possessed, and you will possess it, and he will make you prosper there, and he will allow you to become even more numerous than your ancestors. And then Jehovah your Elohim will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your children so that you will love Jehovah your Elohim with all your heart and all your being, and thus you will live. So you see, we got a promise that even if there's no one there to tell us, if we're seeking and we turn and we really try to learn and we really want to obey the Lord, he'll come get you no matter where you are. So that's quite a promise. And then he says, Jehovah your Elohim will put all these curses on your enemies, on those who hated and persecuted you, but you will return and pay. But you will return and pay attention to what Jehovah your Elohim says and obey all his mitzvot, which I am giving you today. And then Jehovah your Elohim will give you more than enough in everything you set out to do. The fruit of your body, the fruit of your livestock, the fruit of your land, all will do well. For Jehovah will once again rejoice to see you do well as he rejoiced in your ancestors. And that is all 100% true. I can totally testify that that is completely true. Now, here's the money line. Here's another one that runs totally contrary to what anyone and everyone learns in the church. However, all this will happen only if you pay attention to what Jehovah your Elohim says and obey his mitzvot and regulations, which are written in the book of the Torah. If you turn to Jehovah your Elohim with all your heart and all your being for this mitzvah, which I'm giving you today, is not too hard for you. It is not beyond your reach. It isn't in the sky, so that you need to ask who will go up into the sky and for us and bring it down and make us hear it so we can obey it. Likewise, it's not beyond the sea, so you need to ask who will cross the sea for us and bring it to us and make us hear it so we can obey it. On the contrary, the word is very close to you, in your mouth, even in your heart. Therefore, you can do it. All right. So a lot of you guys come from the church, maybe all of you. How many in the church recited the Ten Commandments, but the old preacher said, well, we can't even really do those. And here the Lord is telling you to do the whole Torah. But I've had pastors tell me that there's no way a human can obey the Ten Commandments, much less the 613. But here, somebody is lying. Since nobody wants to go here, I'm going to call on some people. Let's see here. Miss Vivian, who's lying? Is the church lying, or is Jehovah, our Elohim, lying? I hear nothing from Miss Vivian. All right, Adriana. So Jehovah says, the Torah is not beyond our reach, and it's in our heart, therefore we can do it. So, but my pastor once told me there's no way we can do all those regulations. So one of them's lying to me. Who's lying? Was my old preacher a liar?
Yes, your preacher was lying. What happened at the church? Oops. I believe in the churches, and it has been kind of like a codependency. I think a lot of Christians, they just depend on what the preacher says. Then, and the preacher doesn't motivate them, or maybe do it on purpose, not to encourage their members to read the scriptures. And I think it's sort of like a mindset. Not everybody, but most people, they're just content with what they receive. And they come from that, like the preacher says, or the pastor says, or whatever the pastor says, it becomes more important with that, what the scripture says. And I also know that in the churches, they don't teach much about the Tanakh, the five books. They don't really, they go once in a while, like as references, but they don't really study like us.
That's exactly right. So then Jehovah our Elohim's telling the truth when he says we can obey this word because it's close to us.
I keep thinking about the other question that you asked and nobody had the answer. I'm going to look for it because it's like, we should know the answer. I keep thinking, I'm a little distracted. I keep thinking about the first question. Okay, never mind.
What's the first question? Go ahead. We can talk about it. We got a few minutes.
About the Ruach HaKodesh. About, I forgot the right word. The first question was about how you sin against the Ruach. Like,
right.
All
right. Well, let's explore that. So do you think when these people say that they're full of the Spirit of the Lord, when they're full of the Ruach HaKodesh and they're down on the floor jabbering and then they get up and they know nothing more about scripture, do you think those people are sinning against the Ruach HaKodesh saying Ruach HaKodesh is making them?
No, I agree with you, but you were talking about the blasphemy against the Ruach. So that's a way of blaspheming the Ruach as well. You talk about a blasphemy or a sin, then it won't be forgiven.
Right. That's correct. Yeshua says that blasphemy against the Ruach will not be forgiven.
But I know I have heard that there is a specific sins of disobedience that goes along with that. But these people, they're talking these languages and stuff in the churches, that's a blasphemy against the Ruach?
Of course that's a blasphemy against the Ruach. If I go and pick up a prostitute and say that I'm doing it because the Ruach is making me do it, am I not blaspheming the Ruach?
Yes. But okay, my question is, if you do it and then you repent, so you won't be forgiven?
Well, here's the catch. To blaspheme the Ruach, you have to be part of this covenant. Someone who is a non-believer, someone who doesn't know anything, you have to know the Ruach to blaspheme the Ruach. So,
I understand.
So it's not something you can accidentally do. You have to willfully do that. Because every person who is down jabbering on that floor, they know that no one is speaking to them. Oh. Right. Yeah. And that is a person who knows in his heart he is dry, yet he is going to bless himself and keep doing what he wants to do and say, I'm full, I'm watered, I'm full. So basically you have someone who has nothing. They're not connected to the Spirit of the Lord in any way, yet they claim to be full of the Spirit of the Lord. That is also blaspheming the Spirit of the Lord. But you have to know what you're doing. So that's the reason it is a very specific sin, that it goes beyond just accidentally. Because, I mean, when we were non-believers, a lot of us would make fun of this pastor named Ernest Angley. Everybody heard of Ernest Angley? You ever watch Ernest Angley, Rabbi Andrew?
I've seen him.
Yep.
All right, Ernest Angley was the original healer preacher. And he'd get up on stage and push him down. And he was big haired and he had the huge Southern accent. And he was the original, be healed, brother. And you know, we all used to make fun of him. We all used to totally make fun of his program when we were non-believers. But when we grew up and became believers, we wouldn't make fun of his program anymore. Because we didn't want to risk blaspheming, because if there was somebody actually on his program that was really healed by the, that really believed and was really healed by the Spirit of the Lord, we didn't want to be like those Purashim in Yeshua's day and make fun of the actual Ruach HaKodesh if that's who was healing him. And I think that was a wise decision, because I do believe some people had a true belief in their heart in the power of the Lord and went on that really flamboyant guy's program and did get healed. I don't believe it was all 100% fraud. So anyway,
Shalom. This is Messianic Rabbi Andrew Dinnerman. I would personally like to thank you for tuning in to the Remnant's Call each and every week. You can listen to the full message on our website, bethgoyim.org. If you have drawn closer to the King of Kings, learned more about him today, we are blessed. If you are blessed by these messages, please consider a donation to our ministry. You can go to our website, bethgoyim.org. That's BETHGOYIM.org, and click on the donate button. You do not have to have a PayPal account to donate. All you need is a debit card. Once again, thank you very much for listening to The Remnant's Call.
If you have not taken your first steps to be born again, just ask God's help. Remember, it's His loving grace that has come to find you. No one is worthy or able to reach God, but God can reach us, and He's reaching out to you now. Just open your heart and let Him in. His arms are open, and the blessing of salvation and eternal life are waiting for you. Don't let it wait any longer. Shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and give you his shalom.
Shalom. My name is Messianic Rabbi Andrew Dinnerman, and I invite you to come to visit our congregation. If you are in the tri-state area, come out and visit with us on Shabbat. We are a congregation of Jews and Gentiles living as one in the Messiah Yeshua. BGMC is a place of true worship. The focus never wanders from the Hebraic roots of our faith. Beth Goyim is rooted in the Word of God from Bereshit through to the Book of Revelation. Messiah's strong words against man-made tradition are carefully recorded in Matthew 7. That is the reason we only follow the straight-up instructions found in Scripture, truly the way, the truth, and the life. If you're looking for a deeper walk with Adonai, come out for our Tuesday evening Bible study called Messianic Torah Time. Come, spend a day with us on any Shabbat. We start at 11 a.m. with the sound of the ancient Hebrew shofar. Next, we offer our King praise and worship in English, Hebrew, and Spanish. After worship, we review the headlines in the previous week's news from around the globe, especially news from the Holy Land Israel. We don't just list the news headlines as current events, but we comb through the scriptures, searching for clues to understand what they mean and then to help pinpoint prophetically our current position on Adonai's clock. After digesting all that modern information, we leave the world behind as we journey with our Adonai deep into his eternal word, not with just one or two scriptures, but usually seven or more scriptures. The spiritual nourishment and the richness of his kingdom become accessible to the ones who share this special time and seek them out. The day does not end there, because Shabbat is so special to him. There is always so much more that our King desires to share. So instead of separating and leaving, we stay together as a family for potluck lunch and an afternoon study of our King's Word. We close the Shabbat together with a reading of the new week's parashah. That's the Torah portion. Even after those blessings, many of us just can't get enough. So the members bring prepared homemade foods to share while we all enjoy an uplifting movie together. If all that information is not quite enough, you can check out our website where you will find over 200 video teachings and biblical holy day studies. Under Messianic Torah Time, the Hebrew Roots button, you'll discover free studies on many, many different topics, including PowerPoint slide presentations. If Beth Goyim sounds like a place you'd love to visit, but you live outside the tri-state area, there is still a way to connect with us. We stream live on the internet on Tuesday, Thursday, and Shabbat. The website is www.bethgoyim.org. That's BETHGOYIM.org. Our phone number is 973-338-7800 or 978-2-YESHUA. That's 978, the number 2, Yeshua. Shalom.